now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at coloradomediaschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
This is Ducello Asserts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's 2 answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Locke. You need to think about it. Our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
Live from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com, this is The Press Box.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is November 11th. It is Veterans Day.
We start the show out with a big props, a big thank you, and a happy Veterans Day to all our service members. Beautiful day, and we go on and on in stories and sports with veterans, but certainly our best and our thanks. A greater men than I, certainly these veterans. Join with me today. Marty Dark here with you. Now, of course, this is the Press Box, part of the Go Mile High Network here, GoMileHigh.com. Jahir and Jacob, my dear friends, with us. Much to get into. COVID, college football, NFL. We're going to recap some things that happened this weekend, and then there's some big stuff already coming up here as we get into Week 10. Steelers sneak through 8-0, so we got to talk about them. Plenty to do there. COVID has canceled now Ohio State. Now, the Big Ten's really struggling getting off the ground here. Wisconsin's going to give a go this week. They've already lost 2 games. 3-0 Ohio State at number 3 is already going to lose a game. And you see the effects of COVID now here. Trevor Lawrence was supposed to play in that game on Saturday against Notre Dame. And we're going to get into that thriller, that epic, that one for the ages. What a gem, and that was a true freshman on the road, giving it everything. We got as much as you could ask for, plus some overtime, of course, there in South Bend, Indiana. So we're going to get into COVID. I don't know. You guys tell me, is it going to be funny to have a 6-0 Ohio State team in the playoffs, and you're leaving out teams with bodies of work of, say, like, they couldn't dare pass to BYU, who might be 11 or 12-0. How's this all going to shake out for rankings and playoffs? Is this a just season?
Yeah, I think it is going to be a problem. And I think where the real problem lies is at the Big Ten commissioner's feet. Kevin Warren bundled this entire thing. We talked about it last week. We talked about how they were kind of the first ones to jump ship. Correct. They were like, we're going to kind of be this conference that is doing the right thing.
We're so careful about our student athletes. Mm-hmm. We won't.
But everybody knew they were lying.
Correct.
And once somebody else said, all right, we're coming back, they were also going to come back, which is what they did, which is what the Pac-12 did as well. They followed in their footsteps as well.
Right.
This was avoidable. If the Big Ten would have never said, we're going to cancel, if they would have just said, we're going to hold off for a few weeks, just like the SEC did, just like the Big 12 did, we're going to try to get a better understanding of what's happening with this virus. Mm-hmm. They could have built in some bye weeks into the schedule.
Correct.
and make up some of these games, because it's inevitable that games will be canceled.
Correct.
So I lay this at the feet of Kevin Warren.
Okay, we can blame the Big Ten and its commissioner, but it's a little late for that at this point. What are we going to do to fix it? What sort of rankings? How are we going to fix it so a team that's undefeated will actually get into the playoffs? Liberty having a hell of a season. They beat Virginia Tech. Might have been a little fluky, yes, but they beat them. What makes them less of a team than Ohio State that has only played 6 games?
Eyeball test.
Yes, now, eyeball test.
You're
going to
see
obvious.
That, right? Okay, so this is what I kind of want to lead into is, yes, you've got a 8-0, 10-0 BYU, and BYU is really good, so they might lie in the exception. But I know if it's 2 undefeated teams, whether even if it's Ohio State having played 5 games, 6 mm-hmm. games, Ohio State's getting that slot ahead of BYU, and you're going to say, well, look at all these games. But the problem is that the committee, the powers that be, are going to be able to say, yeah, but Ohio State looks different than every other team in college football. Look how fast. Kyle feels really nice back there. So you're right. You're going to have to project, had this team played a full season, this is an undefeated team, 12-0, and they're kicking everybody in the fanny, right?
Yep.
Well, and they're also not getting their little candy games where you're going to blow out some non-conference stuff, right? So we're just going to see somewhat the good stuff. But they got to play them because, you know, Ohio State's got to play Wisconsin and Michigan, and all these games got to happen to say that you'd be – this body of work so far, yeah, we know they're better than Liberty. It's really hard to say you deserve to be in playoffs after this small body of work, and here's these up and right. And just, there's other ones. There's Marshall. Okay, there's other teams that are going to say, what about us, right?
And it's different if – like the game that got canceled this week for Ohio State is Maryland.
Right.
That's not that big of a deal because beating Maryland
that's
52-0.
Said.
Oh, that's fair. You know, but Ohio State coming out and beating Maryland 52-0 is going to do just about nothing for them. Except
you're right. That is in the win column already. You are right. We don't need to see that to say, okay, you can proceed. I agree with you.
But when we start to see maybe Michigan State get canceled, Michigan get canceled, Wisconsin get canceled, that's when the real problem is going to pop up.
Okay, and you're telling me that this Maryland-Ohio State game might not matter as much, but Indiana is tied for first place in the Big Ten right now, Big Ten East. So let's say that Indiana goes in and wins. They have the sole possession of the Big Ten East. What happens if they end the season? Indiana has played one more game. They're all undefeated. Who goes in? Ohio State or Indiana? They're both in the Big Ten.
Well, and again, you go back to the Big Ten and say, well, you clean up this mess because you're the one that left no margin for error on this season when it wasn't going perfectly. I mean, think about that. I mean, they're so concerned about this. And then when they decided to get back in, this had not gone away. Teams were still having outbreaks. I mean, so they knew what they're getting, but they left themselves. But the problem, here's the greedy, selfish, sort of gutless play by the Big Ten is that they're now going to interfere with the rest of the national scene, right? And now we're going to say, well, how do we gauge a 10-2 team versus a 6-1 Big Ten team? I mean, what's the credit there? Technically, you played half a season. But shame on them for grandstanding and then saying, oh, but we'll take the money, piece of the pie, too, once everybody sort of going in and cleared the waters for us. I think teams that have a serious gripe are going to be teams like Clemson, who have been getting going this whole time, and then they lose Trevor Lawrence for, you know, the BC game was not a big deal at all by any means to think that they couldn't figure that out, although it was tight. This was a different scenario. This was true freshman going into, of course, South Bend, Indiana, the great historic classic Notre Dame, one for the ages. Go back to 6-7, a dozen plays, if this, then that. What I saw is that that's a true freshman that's going to be really good in Mr. DJ Ugi Agalele.
Ugalele.
Excuse me. Oh, I forgot to. We got Squirrel in the back with us here today. So we're gonna.
How did you forget?
Say that again. No, pronounce that again.
Ugalele. Ua.
Ua.
Uagalele.
U-A-I-G-E-L-E.
Uagalele.
Ugalele.
Say it. Don't spell it.
Yeah, right. For real.
Uagalele.
And I just want to say Notre Dame barely had to take Clemson to an overtime game to beat them without a Trevor Lawrence. There's no way they would have even came close to Clemson with Trevor Lawrence on the field.
We want to talk about that because we're in agreement.
And you're on right. DJ is going to be great for the next few years comes, and Clemson isn't going to skip a beat the next few years.
You're exactly right. And that was kind of what we were talking about here before this show got started is – Etienne was not effective.
No.
He was 30 yards. I think he was 29
like that
yards.
First round pick, man.
Well, all focus went to him. All attention, all pressures, all notice went to him. They thought so. So, of course, the presence of a Trevor Lawrence, Etienne's going to get his. Etienne is a fantastic back in the tackles and then outside.
ACC leader.
Yeah, I mean, this, you're disappointed because he couldn't come through and carry Trevor Lawrence in that moment. The freshman, though, was just fine because he did everything offensively. That defense let him down, didn't they?
Yes, I should say, I don't think we're giving Notre Dame enough credit because, yes, they didn't have to beat Trevor Lawrence, but you play the guys that are out there against you. Yeah. You play the guys that are on the field. That Notre Dame defense, they gave up a few points, but it's Clemson. Of course they are.
Absolutely.
Notre Dame defense.
They're dogs at home
held
that game.
NTN, yes.
Right. So you have to give props to Notre Dame. I mean, with or without, they weren't supposed to win the game. That's what they were told. That's what they told us.
But you got to remember, when you have Trevor Lawrence out there, he's more of a scrambler than Ugalele is. That will take pressure off anybody. You have to keep a spy on him. You're not going to be able to pack the line so the Etienne can't run. So once you don't have Trevor in there, Etienne's going to have no holes to run because Trevor can't keep him to base. That's what's going to happen. If you don't have Trevor, Etienne's going to be ineffective. If you don't have Etienne, Trevor's not going to be as effective.
Well, here's the deal. So for 3 years, they've had Trevor Lawrence, and this playbook expands, and it gets better and better. With him in the game, you've got 100% access and a guy who's been doing it and doing it well for a long time. You know that thing shrunk down probably 50% for Saturday night. He executed the play that they did. I mean, the pick, the fumble, fluky. Probably doesn't happen again in 100 different plays, but Notre Dame kept themselves in a spot, and it went really, really well for them. Okay, so good for them. They moved to number 2. Clemson stays in at number 4, and I think that's another one of those eyeballs projection. That's a coin flip game. You can't knock them out of that top 4 probably for that, especially knowing there's no Trevor Lawrence.
My question
is really good, though.
How do you keep Ohio State at 3 that has only played 3 games, and you put Clemson at 4 because they lost one game, but they've played 8?
Well,
that's when we get back to the whole projection, and we gotta know, because that's not fair to Clemson. Then I'd have to go play Alabama instead of Notre Dame again.
Well, no offense, isn't it a lot of what have you done for me lately?
Yes.
And they always use even go, 12-1 doesn't look the same if that number one loss came at the end.
Right.
Okay. Now we got a little bit more college football to get into here. Now CSU. Big border game last week. We just have to touch on that. And I know it stings the room a little bit. There's some diehard. There's some brown and mustard yellow.
Gold.
Okay, excuse me. So we want to talk a little bit about that game. CU sort of explodes onto the college football scene in Pac-12's opening weekend. You saw a 9 a.m. start time to get that one on TV. USC and Arizona State goes right down to the wire. Really, really nice stuff there. We'll come right back and finish on the college football. This is the Press Box.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere. And I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah. Because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today. So find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
This is Ducello Asserts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft, and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts. Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from the sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at coloradomediaschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
Gentlemen, we are back here. This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com. Marty Dark with you. Jahir with you. Jacob with you. We had a border war just this last week. Of course, Wyoming traveled to the new beautiful Canvas Stadium in Fort Collins, Colorado. And CSU laid a thump down, and really kind of right out of the gate. It started bloody, messy, frantic for Wyoming, chasing behind, didn't look composed. And that thing got out of control, really never felt like it was a competitive, whatever that final score was, it wasn't that close kind of a game. Coming from a Wyoming follower, a loyalist, a lover.
How's that loss feel, baby?
It's disappointing, I'm hoping.
You know, here's where it went wrong. CSU is so used to playing in empty stadiums, where Wyoming is used to fans always being in the stands. No, you know, what really happened here is Wyoming looked ahead. They had won 4 straight and a convincing win over Hawaii. I think these players just came in and Hawaii. Yeah, Hawaii's a good football team for the Mountain West. They are. They put up points and Wyoming's defense was able to hold them. And this game, they just looked over. It was just a look-ahead game, and it was very unfortunate.
Are you suggesting, and I think that you are, the Wyoming Cowboys got full of themselves and looked down upon
as
the CSU Rams?
May be to believe.
Come on, that man. CSU exactly blitzed them right from the beginning, turnover after turnover.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. They blitzed them. Yeah, absolutely. Like, this was a complete look-ahead spot for Wyoming.
Quarterback change was big for CSU, right? Okay, so in that first, CSU looked like potentially there was some high school team in there.
CSU's quarterback was like a safety. It's like a converted
that's
safety.
The CU.
That's Sam Noyer, yo.
Okay, my bad. I got the
get
wrong
get your team
colleges.
Straight.
But there's,
wow.
But they made a switch.
How about you get a better team?
They did lose to CSU, man. CSU's not that good. So
tension's hot here.
No
live
kidding.
From campus when you get these lovers here. But made a switch at quarterback for CSU. That made a huge difference. You saw him be very composed, complete a lot of open passes. Wyoming was not expecting that good of quarterback play from CSU.
It was a completely different CSU team than anybody saw from the first week to the second week. It was a very impressive CSU team, I will say that. They looked a lot better. They could
They did.
This kid at quarterback, he can throw the ball, and he's got a few targets that are. I mean, that tight end for CSU.
He's nice.
An absolute stud.
Right, man. Don't you feel? Here comes the George Kittle's type guys. Yeah. This new classic. Every NFL team's got the 6'6", 265 tight end, jumps up 10 feet.
They're all basketball players.
Yeah,
nowadays.
And they've got these huge bodies now, and they just sort of get what they want, do what they want.
Offensive line with some hops in them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but you have to have one, though, as an NFL team. Mm-hmm. You got to have one of those. We're going to get into these Broncos here a little bit. Squirrel's going to cue us up a little bit of sound. This is post-game stuff from Drew Lock, courtesy Broncos.com. Okay. You saw the miracle comeback against San Diego, okay, and it's just three fourth-quarter touchdowns. This is John Elway resurrected. Here he comes. Now, you knew this was a tough spot. Atlanta on the road after the big win. This is not the most mature team. This is not the most experienced or seasoned team. And they really were not there for that first half. And Atlanta's the kind of team wants you back in the game. Give me that from Drew Lock. Let's see what he's thinking about.
You know, you get to use the excuse of a win's a win when you come back in the fourth quarter last week. Sure, we ran some good plays, but not a lot to take from a loss in my mind, especially, you know, when you hear that four or five times.
Drew Lock, postgame stuff, Broncos.com. Now, what I hear in that message is that the great win against San Diego is sort of worthless, irrelevant when you go lay the egg against Atlanta. Now, I think Atlanta's better than Denver. I mean, certainly a quarterback seasoned Matty Ice. Julio Jones does what he needs to do. And Todd Gurley's a nice back. I mean, he's a nice back.
And can we talk about Matt Ryan, how he kept that defense up tempo? He did not let that defense settle. It did not let them get in their heads. Matt Ryan controlled that game from beginning to end. He did not let the Broncos get back in it. So we got to give a little bit of credit to Matt Ryan as well there.
Absolutely. And I think that's just something that you'll – in my opinion, we'll never see Drew Lock be able to do. I just think that Drew Lock doesn't have it. He's too inconsistent constantly.
And see, I think Drew Lock does have it. I'm like, whoever you talk to, it's low polarizing. You're either far left or far right. I think Drew Lock's going to be a great quarterback. He has what you need to be a good quarterback. He has the talent and he has the intangibles. He has the work ethic. He has the brains. I think it's just meshing it all together and making it work.
We'll see. I mean, I think that's, again, sort of giving the benefit of the doubt here and projecting. I mean, there was NFL gurus, bigwigs. It might have been even Adam Schefter, I remember, early in the COVID times, and people might have not been thinking rational, but they had Drew Lock as a dark horse MVP-type candidate. And this,
crazy
and this sort
talk.
Of just yeah. crazy talk like this. And really what has gone on here in Denver is they have had some really spike high big moments and then some just disastrous almost inside look inside the same game of the San Diego is really encapsulating of Drew Lock sort of why we just can't go ahead and say okay he will be very good one day. We know that you saw them look essentially dead in the water for the first half, and then in one quarter, thanks partly to San Diego, do things you're blown away. But, see, we haven't been able to string that together for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row. I know we had the good finish last year, and we've had some injuries this year. We've had some inconsistencies. Atlanta game really needed to be a tight, tight, great game for him for us to say, okay, this is now moving in the right direction. Look out, folks. We didn't get that. You know, the biggest sort of disappointment, I guess, and I know we'll go back to injuries. I know we'll have to say injuries. But this is a defense team. Defense coach, defense led, supposed to be at least. We're not getting that. We're getting a defense that can potentially give up a ton of points, you know, mm-hmm. big play stuff. And then an offense that's not high octane really with any consistency at all. It's a bad mesh right now because, see, typically this is what I like in the NFL. When I see a team that's led by a defensive head coach, that's their theme. That's their who they are, identity. You like to be able to put that on the That's in the win column because you know you're going to get that kind of low point, aggressive, in your face. We're not getting that here. So you can't put either offense or defense week to week in the win column to say we're better than that. I mean, the Jets game that's a better team than the Jets. You're going to see them dogs in almost everything they do. So, week to week, you ask yourself, is this team rising in the division or creeping towards the bottom? You know, for Denver fans, for Denver, the Broncos, you know, thank God for San Diego. Yet another one slip away. Mm-hmm. I mean, where are they at in this mix of kind of average football below Kansas City?
And if you're a Broncos fan, you have to be getting about sick and tired of Vic Fangio. You have to be. You're right on the edge of calling for his job.
Yes.
Because, like you said, this is supposed to be Fangio is supposed to be this defensive genius,
a guru.
And I understand that it's very difficult to do that as the head coach. It's much easier to be this guru and mold your defense to how you want it
one
to be
responsibility.
When you're a coordinator. Yep. Right. But when you're a head coach, you're having to do everything.
Right.
And I just don't think that he has it.
We've seen him overwhelmed many times, yes. Right, with the game management.
Doesn't know when to call a timeout. Doesn't know how much time is left on the clock. Right. So I think if you're a Broncos fan, you are definitely looking at your watch and seeing it come to that 12th hour of Vic Fangio's career.
And I really think that Vic Fangio's biggest mistake was getting rid of Rich Scangarello. You bring in Pat Shurmur, he hasn't meshed with Drew Lock that well. Last year, Rich was able to get to Drew Lock. He was able to do play calls that Drew Lock liked. They were able to control the run game. You bring in Pat Shurmur because you want an explosive offense, and it hasn't happened. The opposite happened. So that's his biggest
explosive offense, or and this is what I see the trend in the NFL, and this is why it always gets frustrated if your team's stuck in the middle, is this recycling of coaches that have failed and letting them recycle them right away. I mean, he just failed at his most recent experiences,
yes.
And we're saying, here's this really critical piece to our team, and we want to give it to you, because I think what they do is this. It's a job security. It's a comfort to the hirer, the head coach, the GM. We've got a big ticket name in this position. You can't blame us if this goes wrong. But there's always a reason that guy's available, right?
There's a reason he was there. Was a reason,
right?
He was fired.
I mean, it's
from
never
New York.
Wow. You've got an opportunity to get Belichick this year if you want him on your staff. He's looking for work after 9 Super Bowl appearances. It doesn't happen that way. These
right.
were always end of the road. But yet somehow this is going to be the magic spot for him to bring this all together. It doesn't really always work that way.
And if you kind of look at the teams throughout the whole of the NFL that have made coaching changes in the last 5 years or so, the teams that have gone younger, that have gone with these Kyle Shanahans or even Matt Rhule in Carolina, mm-hmm. you look at those teams and you're like, wow, like I like what they're doing. Those teams have a lot of hope. But then if you look at the Broncos with Fangio or
exactly.
even the Raiders with Gruden,
yeah.
you're like, okay, well, what's their ceiling?
Exactly.
Their floor might be
exactly.
might be 5-6 wins every year,
yep.
and you're never going to be a winless team with this guy as a coach. But is your ceiling? Can you honestly say Vic Fangio is going to win the Broncos a Super Bowl?
No, you're hitting it exactly on the head. As far as you're almost describing the Belichick. Mm-hmm. There's only enough for one Belichick, and to me, that's more of that Gruden mold,
mm-hmm. yep.
that Fangio mold. Now, not to say he's on a different level, right? But when you go and pick out these specialty coordinators, this Sean McVay, the little geniuses, and they work. Sometimes they work. You know, in Cincinnati last year,
even
you
Jim
look,
Harbaugh in Baltimore, special
well,
teams
yeah.
guy.
Absolutely, same kind of scenario there. Those are different kind of teams to sort of get excited and build up because, boy, you got to have teams that stay together. You got to have super good diligence, 100% commitment, or you have to have this sort of explosive new, we can take average NFL talent and it's going to get even better because our offensive strategy is so explosive. That's kind of where you're at with the NFL. Mm-hmm.
And Vic Fangio is really, he's just who you're bringing out there for this mice of a team right now, because it all starts from the top. Not even John Elway, not even Joe Allen. It starts from not having an owner. There's no leadership. So what do? You let the VP and you let the GM do run wild and do what they want. They fire
they
people. That, yeah, and they just fire people.
People still aren't over the VJ head coaching disaster. And
it
if you saw what happened, what Tua did to him, there's a reason why he's no longer a head coach.
He can't cover tight ends. Like, he doesn't know where a tight end is in the NFL.
And so to kind of, like, get into that Belichick thing,
yeah.
you can only be this stern coach if you've proved it.
Right.
So, like, if you're Vic Fangio, you can't come in and say, no music.
Right.
No music during right. practice. I like that line of thinking of, we have to earn this type of stuff.
Yes.
But if you as a coach have never earned it, to be able to come in and say, hey, this is what we need to do.
Totally agree. And that's why, you know, there's kind of only one LeBron. You know, there's a couple
yep.
of guys up there. You know, to
top
get
echelon,
those,
man.
Yeah,
top
it's
echelon.
It's rare. Other guys are just going to have to be more creative and be explosive. But I still think very undetermined here in Denver. But I think the clock is running out. I think you've hit it.
Talking down.
Yeah, and we're going to be now three head coaches in 5 years. That's too many. There's more NFL to get to. We're going to come right back. It's Marty Dark. It's Jacob. It's Jahir. It's the Press Box. It's Squirrel in the Back. Coming up.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
This is Ducello at Sturts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at ColoradoMediaSchool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
Bingo, bongo, bango. Squirrel brings us right back in. Of course, Marty Dark with you. Jacob with you. Jahir with you. This is the Press Box on Go Mile High, live on the campus, Colorado Media School. Good to be with you here. Of course, Veterans Day, a big shout out and thank you to our service members here on this Veterans Day, November 11th, here 2020. NFL, just touching on a couple of things that really just stood out from last weekend, and then as this stuff comes up. Real quick on Cam getting over here on the Jets. Boy, how the mighty have fallen in New England. But it's not a disaster. You just see I like Rex Burkhead a lot.
If he would spend time in the gym and not on his hats, he might actually play some football.
Talking
better.
Cam?
Oh, dude.
Let me tell you
who
about
else,
Cam.
Who else wears the most ridiculous hats really in the world? That. This guy's got 10 million hats.
You wish he would have gone a different route. You know, here's the deal with Cam is this is an alpha since he was 2 years old, right? And just sort of the best player on the field, court, whatever he was doing for his entire life, he was the best at. I'm very confident, and I don't know the answer, but I'm assuming that's exactly how it went. Auburn, he was a sensation, of course. And that first run in the league, we hadn't seen anything like him. It was kind of like the brought up to speed 2010 and on type version of a John Elway, in my opinion. Could do it all, but it was up to speed with the athleticism that we've seen evolve here in the league. But it didn't last very long. Now, he against the Jets, they use him. They don't care. Go just take a beating. If we're going to get, if we need 2 yards, we're going to use you to get that 2 yards. That is not a plan. If they had ideas for him in the future, for you could do that for more than 2 or 3 seasons in a row. He's beating. They're beating him to death, and then he's, you know, he's just a struggled passer. That is a slow release. It's a strong arm, but boy, is that thing slow. Mm-hmm. But you could tell his effort and commitment to win that game last night was pure. I mean, it was there, and there was pure joy in his post-game stuff where he wanted to win that game, and it felt good to win that game. They had a lot of struggles. So I think New England, you'll see a lot of games like that where when they win, they're just kind of getting by. Nothing explosive, and that defense is not very good.
No, I mean, I knew that this – New England defense wouldn't be very good at the beginning of the year because they had like 5-6 players opting out for COVID reasons.
Yeah, right.
And so everybody, it's so easy to buy into this is Bill Belichick. He's going to get that defense right by the end of the year. Well, I don't think he is this year. I think this is a different year. He even admitted it.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week about how the Patriots and Bill Belichick are saying, look, the last 5 years we have completely sold out to win 3 Super Bowls, and we won 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years. You can't expect
every team in the league will take that deal.
Yes, absolutely. Day in and day out. Yes. Like, I would take an 0-16 to win a Super Bowl the year before.
Yes.
And if you're a Patriots fan, I think you would have preferred to lose this game.
True.
Because then you would be 1 win away from Trevor Lawrence.
Correct.
And you play the Jets again.
Correct. There's no doubt that's the route they need to be going. That's kind of the same thinking here in Denver where they keep winning games. They probably, big picture, really aren't worth it, right? And that's going to happen in New England. New England's, of course, we're always supposed to believe the witty, crafty genius of Bill Belichick, and this will always get righted. But some pieces have to fall in place because you can see, I'm sorry, it's as obvious as Stevie Wonder sees stuff. The big deal there is you got to have the right quarterback. You got to have the consistent good quarterback that you can put in the bank, and you just can't put Cam Newton in the bank, and you can't put their other quarterbacks in the bank either. They just went this year with sort of out of quarterback plan, knowing it's impossible to pick up where you left off. It's impossible.
Cam Newton just kind of became the booty call that became a girlfriend to Bill Belichick after he lost Tom Brady.
Nasty.
He was just trying to get a quarterback. He thought he could make anybody into a superstar right away, win with anybody. That ego is proving to be wrong, and that's why the Patriots are struggling quite a bit as well.
I think the most underrated part about this Patriots organization for the past 20 years is they haven't drafted well.
No,
they have not.
They've drafted offensive linemen fine, but not well. Wide receivers they can't pick out of a N'Keal Harry.
Kobe Myers was their best. And he was always
been a weak spot for him. Just Randy Moss is the only one, obviously, via free agency, the only dynamic receiver they've had in that Brady era.
And so I think we're finally kind of seeing all the dominoes not fall the way that Belichick and Kraft
thought they were
going to fall.
You saw it last year with that rotten deterioration. Even though Brady was declining, there's no doubt. I mean, the rest of that team was going down with him. Wasn't like they were ascending and Brady brought him down by any means.
Yes. Well, Vrabel just Bill Belichicked. Like he did exactly what Bill Belichick would have done to him if Vrabel had let him. That's why the Patriots at this point, I think how you said, it's better they just start losing every game and hope that they can get a top 3 quarterback in next year's draft.
Yep.
And there's going to be some nice ones. Don't be wrong. You'll be able to pick some. You may not get the shiny Trevor Lawrence.
But
right?
Yep.
That's what it was, but there'll be more choices.
Trey Lance. The kid from BYU.
BYU.
Zach Wilson, man. Yep. He is having a hell of a season. And then there's Justin Fields. Like, he's almost perfect every game.
You know.
I just don't trust Ohio State quarterbacks.
That's
history's
a good point.
Not been good. You know, now you're starting to see. To me, obviously, he's going to go more in the Lamar category, right? And we're going to talk about Lamar here, too, because he had to go on the road to – and I've never bought into the Colts this year, but I've been sort of proven wrong, and then kind of now I'm feeling much better. But Phillip Rivers, a okay, is going to it's only going as far as Phillip Rivers. I felt like last year the wheels were coming off for Phillip. He's, again, played much better than I could have thought to start this year. Was not great against Baltimore. Lamar didn't have the problem game, and they went on the road after a pretty crushing loss, got that win. But just to tie, don't you have to put Kyle Fields more in the Lamar category than you would say, well, Kyler Murray, or is he Kyler Murray-ish?
Yeah, I would say how I look at Fields is, he's a quarterback that you don't know how it's going to play out in the NFL.
Yeah.
Is he worth the risk? Quite possibly. But could it blow up in your face and turn into like an RG3?
Yes. Yeah.
I look at Justin Fields and I see a taller Russell Wilson. Honestly, I see him and I see a taller Russell Wilson who can make good decision, can run out of the pocket if he has to, but he'd rather stay in the pocket and throw that. He'd rather sling it around the field than be running around like Lamar Jackson.
He will be Justin Fields, the second quarterback taken, in my opinion. If it's Trevor Lawrence and he this year, and of course Trevor Lawrence has sort of said he doesn't know, but of course, why would you stick around a college campus now with COVID seasons coming up, and you'd just move on? But he's number two. Justin Fields really, really, really unique.
Don't sleep on that North Dakota State Trey Lance. It really hurts that they only played one game, but
yes,
but he has all the talent in the world. He has just as much talent as Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion.
He just doesn't have the experience, but he is really good. I like Trey Lance out of North Dakota, man. He's one of those players.
It's going to be another fun draft.
Okay, well, speaking of one who's getting going, their little new toy, Dolphins, Tua. Tua really debuts more so this week. I mean, you could feel it. He was, okay, let's let it rip. Let's let it open. It's on you, this game. He went into the desert, of course, to take on Kyler Murray, this explosive. Now, again, this is a coach, right? There's no way from a command control of the locker room, I'm Cliff Kingsbury, everybody wear a suit and tie and do as I. He's not going to get that, right? But he's got the explosive, creative dynamic, can work with the quarterback, so they love him, right? Well, they've been pretty good, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Okay, Kyler Murray's very shockingly fantastic. I mean, that is a small, small guy doing some really good stuff. But he was out-dueled by Tua. Now, Vance, the great former head coach here, could not figure out Tua. Tua got what he needed basically. I thought Tua was fantastic. Kind of like when you say Joe Burrow, looking at Joe Burrow, it's a real deal. I'm looking at Tua, you know, I'm starting to get that same feeling. Those were seasoned throws, seasoned reads, and composure.
That when that scramble that Tua had, that I thought he was going to be sacked like 3-4 times, and he just came from the back and then ducked another 3-4 times and ran for a first down and a little more. That was real.
That's Tua.
That's special, man. That's something that you don't see on a daily basis in any of these quarterbacks. I've seen it maybe once with Patrick Mahomes, and that's about it.
He's... I don't like mentioning Patrick Mahomes with anybody. but he's really nice. He's really, really nice. We've got another segment still to go. We've got to finish up on this NFL piece. We've got to look forward to some of these weekend games. We have MAC action tonight. We need to preview some of this upcoming college. We have these cancellations. We have COVID times. We have football season. We're going to have to come right back here. This is the Press Box on Go Mile High.
Hey man, what's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah, I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah,
because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice.
Enrollment starts today.
So find your voice at beonair.com.
It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
This is Ducello at Sturts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft, and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from the sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at coloradomediaschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
What does it take to be on air? It's not just the personality, though it does help. It takes drive, creativity, passion, and the willingness to develop yourself and truly find what makes you special. At Go Mile High, students are given this chance to become something great. You never know. Someone you're hearing right now could be the next big thing, and you could be the first to know how it all started. So keep listening, because you never know what's next on GoMileHigh.com.
We're back. It's Marty Dark with you, Joe here with you, Jacob with you, the press box squirrel in the back, squirrel running this thing to perfection, humming like a Cadillac. Squirrel's been in there working this thing. Now, polishing off, finishing up sort of this NFL current and now getting into the weekend. I just want to – the Tampa Bay explosion, I mean, they were just destroyed on Sunday night, and – the Saints were a team that you thought maybe had some problems. Of course, they had the Raiders loss. Of course, they needed to go extra innings in overtime in Chicago against that's still the all-time worst 5-1 team we've ever seen in the league. It's got to be these Bears. I mean, an inept offense. But they get those with
worst offense for sure.
Worst offense.
When you have Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles, what do you expect?
Well, and just a quick thought on there. Brett Favre claims that Nick Foles was the correct choice over Carson Wentz when they had that decision. Of course, Nick Foles gets some Super Bowl, but of course everybody wanted the young star, the young riser. Now Doug Peterson stepped back and said, "Nope. I take the stand. I take support of Wentz." He has a choice. He's to agree with him, and not probably going to work. But I don't think what you've seen with Foles here in Chicago, you would be thinking, "Oh gosh, we made a mistake." Right? It's not like it's Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, but I mean, look at what Wentz is doing. Half the time, he looks like he's never stepped foot on a football field before.
Yeah,
he's
hurt.
And then he'll have like 5 or 6 throws a game. You're like, "Oh my gosh, this guy is the next coming of Jesus Christ."
I agree with the hot cold, but we paid up for him already.
Yes.
Full price, 4 years, $128 million. We went all the way with Carter. Said same thing with Goff.
See, I think where the argument lies in the Eagles when they made their quarterback decision is what could you have gotten for Carson Wentz? If you couldn't have gotten very much, if you could have gotten like a third and a fourth round pick, no, probably not worth it. But if you could have gotten a first and maybe a second or a third,
no brainer.
Then get Carson Wentz out of there and keep Nick Foles. He's going to be cheaper. You're going to be able to afford some wide receivers who maybe can stay on the field.
And you also have to go sometimes potential versus production. And I think they went for potential. They didn't care how many touchdowns he had. They didn't care how much what Nick Foles did for them. They saw the potential in Carson Wentz, and it's biting them right now. They don't know what to do.
Here's the thing that Philly fans need to get through their heads. You guys just won a Super Bowl just a few years ago. Yeah. Be happy. You guys had never won one before.
There was a 30-year drought before that, right? And so exactly how quickly we become spoiled and demanding. Mm-hmm. But I think you can see the writing on the wall. But it's not like Carson Wentz let him do those Super Bowls. And I think you can kind of see that, ugh. When he's healthy, here's kind of what you get, because they'll say, oh, my gosh, look at this two-minute drive he put together and miraculous scrambles and on the dot back of the end zone. But then you see just the little simple things that look too much for him.
A few of his interceptions 2 weeks ago were – what do you do? Like, where are you throwing this ball to when they played the Cowboys? There's nobody around. I don't know. I don't see what you're seeing.
And then, going back to that, who would you rather have then here in Denver? Drew Lock or Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz.
Exactly. You're going off potential again, and Carson Wentz leaves like a lot more potential.
I just think you probably got a better body of work out of Carson Wentz and enough to say we can put our floor in as far as quarterback here. It's not a bad place to start, but it certainly, when you're staring up at Pat Mahomes in the division, it still makes things look really tough.
And the thing with Drew Lock versus Carson Wentz, if you look at their floors, mm-hmm. Drew Lock's floor is the basement.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz's floor
undefined,
is not.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Carson Wentz has a floor of
Nick Foles.
Of like a Nick Foles at his best, of like – He'll lead your team to like that last playoff spot if you're in the AFC West, or to a division win if you're in the NFC East. Mm-hmm. But their ceilings, I think, are completely different, because I think Carson Wentz's ceiling is way higher than Drew
borderline
Locke's.
Borderline all pro. I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he plays full potential, it's borderline all pro.
And so, yeah.
But other thing, we don't need a quarterback to be. The next Patrick Mahomes. We need a quarterback that can make the Broncos competitive, that can make any team competitive, because 99% of the quarterbacks in the NFL and that are going to come through aren't going to be Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
That guy's a unicorn. That guy's special. We haven't seen nothing like it before, and I doubt we'll see something like that again.
Correct. You're not going to get one probably for a while, but the problem is that gap has to be as small as possible.
And there we go. But that's a full team thing, including coaches and GMs, because you can't close the gap just with the quarterback. That's extremely hard. You have to close it as a unit to get to that point where you can beat Kansas City.
Well, I would say this is that if you're spread between your Kansas City quarterback, division leader, you got to be somewhat close to him quarterback-wise, or you're just not going to be competitive in the division. It just plays out that way all the time. So what the point being is as it stands right now, you've maybe got the fourth best quarterback in the division. Well, that's a problem. And so the recipe has to at least start there. I don't know that you can build your team around, we're always going to be the fourth best at quarterback. Let's proceed. That's a tough sell. Now, here's where I think this gets a little bit more engaging in different divisions. The Minnesota Vikings, okay, everybody else say they have a quarterback, right? This is $84 million Kirk Cousins signs two-year deal. I mean, $30 million. Guy's been making crazy money forever. I think he's still – was living with his parents in the offseason. It was crazy driving an old van. Guy, yeah. I don't know where you spend the money if you can't.
He knows he's not going to get another job, man. He knows he has to keep them for a while.
But they continued to pay him. Now, he started so slow and so bad. Of course, you had Dalvin Cook injured. He is no longer injured. He has exploded onto the NFL, running through people, exposing Green Bay as having a major problem. And then just... you think of this season, how many games they've just sort of piddled away in Minnesota that they had no business losing, certainly favored in those games. If you look at this division, Green Bay 6-2, the Chicago Bears 5-4, they are going the wrong direction. That is only going to get worse. So Minnesota is now just looking at Green Bay. They got the win against them. I think this will be fascinating to see if they can turn this around. This is not a good division. This is not a good NFC. But Minnesota, they were people like them for – represent the NFC. Mm-hmm. Well, you tell me then. Okay, so as it stands right now, you have Tampa Bay, who, which team are they? Because we've seen them look embarrassing against the Bears on prime time. This was in Chicago. This was a Thursday night game. Absolutely humiliated. Absolutely pulverized. Absolutely this is why I say this is such an interesting season, and then you have the dynamic of who gets screwed by COVID.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, this is going to affect, I mean, yeah, bummer, a really good player got COVID. We just know it's coming. We're only halfway through. We're going to have some teams that maybe catch a break or are dismantled based on COVID. And again, this is like Trevor Lawrence. He's supposed to play in that game. You know,
right.
So I still think that this, because we have so much, the virtual meetings, this is the NFL's virtual. I mean, this is crazy to be having these kind of in-depth meetings, this kind of preparation to think this is all going to go great, smoothly, in these COVID times. Crazy to me.
I hope they
these
the
younger
computer.
Quarterbacks, this has got to be a challenge, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, the biggest challenge they'll ever face in their career, and hats off to Burrow, yeah. And Tua, I guess, because...
Don't forget about Herbert, man. Herbert's been killing it, too.
It's been very surprising. I don't know if that... Maybe we took out the wrong thing. We were thinking that it was going to be really hard for the quarterbacks to get the system, to learn all the plays. But maybe it was more so, it's going to be really hard for these defenses to come in and prepare for these kids that they've never seen before.
True. There's plenty of life to that. And I think, too... When you look at the game has shifted so much to offense, right? The rules are obvious. I mean, every single NFL game now essentially ends on a pass interference, a holding, a redo at the goal line. I don't know about you. I'm absolutely sick of watching games finish with officials that deep into
it. Absolutely.
We have got to get this under control. And I understand that in some cases, letter of the law, yeah, this was holding. This was illegal contact. I mean, I go back to that San Diego-Denver game in the goal line. I'm sorry. That's how else are you supposed to play that if you're San Diego? So if you're, again, we're seeing too much of that. But the point being is that these defenses are already stacked against it from the beginning.
Yep.
The throwing, the yardage. I remember this is Elway era type. Kelly, 3,000 yards was a That was a fantastic
that was
NFL
5,000 yards nowadays.
Now it's 5,000. And you think about a defense having to guard that, that's probably 20 more throws a game, something like that that you're used to you're not used to defending, or you have been, but it's only getting more and more and more. Yeah, you're right. We were looking at this wrong. It's the defenses trying to catch up to speed. And let's face it, there's a lot of innovation in the NFL right now, tons of it.
It's starting with Cliff Kingsbury, man. What he brought into that Arizona team, that air raid, it's something that has been going on for a long time in college. And when he brought it to the NFL, surprisingly enough, it got a lot of people off guard. And I don't know why, because it's been in college for a long time. But for some reason, these NFL defenses can't seem to adjust to it. I don't know if it's the quarterback. I don't know if it's the game plan. But it's just a little weird to me that as well.
Yeah, I think it's more so in the past, it was kind of accepted that the air raid wouldn't work in the NFL. And I think the reason for that is because it requires good offensive line play, excellent offensive line play in the NFL. And you just it takes more time to set up these longer plays, these throws deep down the field. But when you look at a team like Arizona, they have three great wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Christian Kirk, who's fast as heck.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Hopkins. Larry Fitzgerald still has it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you combine that with Kyler Murray, who the offensive line might not have to protect nearly as long because he's able to scramble and extend the play with his feet and then still throw the ball down the field just because he can take so much of that baseball background and he can throw from different positions kind of like Mahomes does, where their body doesn't – their 2 feet don't have to be in line with each other and throwing off the right foot. They can kind of throw from these different arm angles. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why the air raid worked so well with Arizona.
And that's
well,
without ever being able to see over the offensive line. Remember
no
that?
Kidding. That's what's so stunning about it. But you look at that. So for years, beginnings of the NFL, defenses had more players on the field because quarterback wasn't an option, right?
Yep.
You're seeing that has to become an element. Josh Allen, who is not thought of as a runner, he's a weapon. Pat Mahomes is a weapon. You play man coverage against Pat Mahomes, he's gone. Okay, so it's evolving. It's moving fast, okay? This is already the top. This is a wrap. This is it. This has been the press box. We've had Squirrel back there all day. Now, mind you, this thing doesn't go off without somebody like this back there. So, Matt, ups and props to Squirrel.
I'm going to give you three quick players. Masters starts tomorrow.
Yes.
Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, and Tiger Woods. Let me tell you this Tiger Woods stat really quickly. Jack Nicklaus won his sixth Masters in 1986, 23 years after his first. He was ranked 33rd in the world going into that week. Tiger wins this week. It will be his sixth Masters, 23 years after his first. He is ranked the 33rd in the world going into this week.
Bryson DeChambeau.
We've never had a Masters this close to Thanksgiving. This will be a lot of fun. It's going to look a little different, right? It's not going to be as gorgeous and luscious and country club-esque. But that'll be fun to have here in this little league. We're going to get out of here. You folks have a great night. We're coming right back.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School...